It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dana Perino, along with Judge Jeanine Pirro, Jessica Tarlov, Jesse Waters, and Greg Gutfeld. It's 5 o'clock in New York City, and this is The 5. The world's richest man blowing the lid off of political censorship at Twitter, and it has many in the media mad about that. Elon Musk promising more smoking guns after giving journalist Matt Taibbi a treasure trove of internal company documents concerning the suppression of the Hunter Biden laptop story. Taibbi posting the revelations tweet by tweet, saying tweets were routinely removed at the request of both political parties, but Democrats had the advantage due to political leanings of the Twitter staff. Twitter justified the decision to suppress the laptop story using its hacked materials policy, but that required an official law enforcement finding of a hack, and that never materialized. Taibbi says this led the company to take extraordinary steps to suppress the story, removing links and posting warnings that it may be unsafe. Musk says there's more to come.
Twitter was acting like an arm of the Democratic National Committee. It was absurd.
I think there will be more smoking guns because the obvious next question is, well, what happened after the election?
The media not only downplayed it, they also attacked the messenger. Dozens of reporters accusing Matt Taibbi of doing PR work for the richest person in the world, and others in the press doing their best to downplay it.
Putting those things back on the platform, juxtaposition with the argument that he's all about free speech, really undermines some of the central tenets of free speech.
It sort of shows is a real struggle at an important platform for how to deal with something so outrageous, so explosive, and what to actually do with it.
There is a long-running theme through Republican politics right now that big tech has censored conservatives. And that is enough. That is enough to have Republicans say, aha, this is exactly what we have been talking about.
And the White House says the story is not even worth your time.
Twitter was so haphazardly pushed this distraction. That is a full of old news, if you think about it. At the same time, Twitter is facing very real and very serious questions about the rising volume of anger, hate, and anti-Semitism on their platform, and how they're letting it happen. And, the president said last week, more leaders need to speak out and reject this.
Okay, they had days to plan an answer, and that is not the one I would have thought that they would give. Greg, if a tweet falls in a forest, is the media going to cover it?
No, but it's great. I love a news story that is outside the news control.
Yeah.
It's like releasing it tweet by tweet, and everybody's sitting there like this going, and then they have to pretend like it's not happening, which is what's going on. The real story about that accusation that Musk is doing, Matt Taibbi is doing PR work for Musk. That's not the story. The story is the cut and paste of it all. It was a uniform response of, I don't know, dozens of blue checkers that said the same thing. He's doing work for Musk. He's doing work. So it was clear. It's something, again, that we always suspected to be true and now is being verified, that there are marching orders. We just don't know where they come from. But there was some tweet. There was a sentence that was sent to all of these people that say he's doing PR for the world's richest man. That showed up everywhere. And that tells you that the media often relied on on imaginary numbers. If you were going to speak up against the media or say something they didn't like, they would create the mob out of a singular message. And that message would be, you better shut up. That in itself is its own form of censorship, to create this mob of like, oh, my God, look, all these people feel the same way. And it also shows you that the media does not come up with the stuff themselves. It's spoon-fed to them by whom? I don't know. Somebody in the DNC? It's just that it's amazing that the media, this is the best part, the media now functions as bots. The NBC disinformation correspondent is a bot. Ben Collins is a bot. The thing that he tweeted was tweeted everywhere else. How hilarious is that? That the disinformation specialist is himself a disinformation bot. He should call himself out. He might get a promotion.
Miranda Devine also talked about the other source of this, which was that Twitter said that they had to have a hacked materials policy. Okay, so who was helping them decide that they needed to have that? Well, Miranda Devine, she has an idea. Listen to her here.
The FBI had come to Twitter and told them in their weekly meetings before the 2020 election to look out for a hacked materials, a hack and leak operation that they believed was going to be about Hunter Biden, and it was going to come in October. So, of course, when Twitter saw our story in October about Hunter Biden, they censored it immediately.
What's interesting is that so they had this. We talked about the 51 national security folks that signed that letter that said, oh, this is disinformation. Well, that was 5 days after Twitter had already censored it. So they had this already ready to go, Judge.
Well, you know, you have to look at this on a bigger level than just Twitter. There is an attempt to literally get rid of the foundations upon which and the principles upon which this country was founded. Why do we have a First Amendment? We have a First Amendment for freedom of speech and freedom of the press. And yet Michael Steele said in one of those quotes, although he's all about free speech, the so-called Twitter files undermine free speech because they are, if it is free speech occurring at the harm or expense of someone else. Since when do we qualify free speech as being at the harm or expense of someone else? I mean, why do we have defamation laws? If it harms you, sue. And then let me see if I got this right. Everything that we've been talking about since October of 2020, now, according to the White House press secretary, is old news.
Yes. Yep.
Okay? And so in 2020, the story was censored. Any discussion was censored. The FBI warns Twitter during weekly meetings there's going to be a and you've got to confirm it. Nobody bothered to confirm it. How easy would it have been to confirm that that this laptop was legitimate and that the emails on it were legitimate? They didn't want to. Did it ever occur to them that the reason the Post ran this thing is because they know the defamation laws? They wouldn't have published it, but for the fact that they could show that it was not defamatory. And I got one more thing to say. When it is finally exposed, the left does not deal with the truth. They don't deal with the fact. They call Elon Musk and Mike Taibbi a racist. I mean, and this one's doing the bidding of the richest man on earth. And the New York Times covers it up, and they say, instead of saying this is rank censorship, they come out and say, well, there was an earnest debate on how to deal with unconfirmed news. You, New York Times, of all people, know how to confirm news.
There was a time, Jessica, when journalists might have tipped their hat to Matt Taibbi and said, wow, great scoop. Wow, good job. I wish I would have been able to do that instead. And then you have to chase it, right? And I know that they don't have firsthand look at the materials, but a lot of reporters, I've been involved in many stories where, let's say, the New York Times gets a scoop and everybody else has to report on the scoop and defer to the New York Times and say, as reported by the New York Times, and then they go on with the story. That's a pretty poor excuse.
Listen, I think that we're in a good place that now everybody, liberal, independent, conservative, agrees that the Post story should not have been censored in the first place. But when you look at the timeline of what happened, because I was thinking to myself, everyone's talking about this as if it would have changed the election, right? How close to the election are we talking about? So October 14th, that's when the story comes out. October 16th, it's back online. So 48 hours there. Within the first 8 days of the story being out in the wild, there was an article about it on Facebook that had 54 million views. That's a lot of views. Yeah. It was dominating the discourse. Axios put out a survey saying that the Hunter Biden saga was what was dominating the political scene there. And now we're still in the early voting window even. We're not even close to Election Day. The Jim Comey letter came out 11 days before the election. Think about this, how much more time there is for this. I cannot stand watching conservatives, like Kevin McCarthy was doing it this weekend, soon to be Speaker of the House, talking about how this is about the First Amendment. Joe Biden was not an elected office. He was a candidate. And what his team, according to the Matt Taibbi files, and I think it's in tweet 10 where we're talking about this, what they wanted taken down, the links that he provided, were pictures of his son's penis. Now, you tell me as a parent, their parents at the table. People have run for office. If God
it wasn't about the 10% for the big guy.
No, well, it wasn't. Then show me the link about that. But the link that I saw was about Hunter Biden's junk.
Well,
that's pathetic. No. Yes, really. And that does matter. This is not about the First Amendment. And then he also said,
don't hide behind his junk.
Yeah, I don't know how big it is. How could I?
Right.
Wait, can I just say something, though? Taibbi also admitted that the Trump campaign asked for content moderation.
Yes.
And then he left those links out. Why did he not tell us what the actual government was asking to have taken down when you're telling us what Joe Biden's team asked to be taken down? And by the way, that's a violation of the terms of service. That's not even a favor. That's someone pinging someone at Twitter and saying, hey, this is revenge porn.
I mean, when Musk says there's more to come, maybe
what
that.
Do you mean?
Let's get Jesse.
When he tried to lead an insurrection.
Jesse, please reveal everything that you were going to say at 7 p.m. for us right now instead.
I'm not there yet, but we know that this was not a free and fair election and that votes were hijacked. And the wrong person is in the White House throwing state dinners that I'm not invited to. These state dinners that Biden just had should have been Trump second term state dinners that I would have been invited to.
Would you have
been
invited?
Am I upset? Absolutely. No. I was not invited to the Australian or French state dinner, but second term state dinners, there were tickets for me. I'm okay with it. I've recovered, and that's not the point. The point is this. The FBI, the CIA, Twitter, and the media all pushed a lie about the Republican candidate, and they all censored the truth about the Democrat candidate. And they all got caught, Jessica. And do any of them care? No. They'd all do it again. None of them paid the price. The Twitter executives got golden parachutes. Yeah. The CIA spooks and the FBI guys, they all got jobs in the media. And the media is now saying, please censor us more. What kind of people want less freedom, Jessica?
Have you heard
these people? They're saying, you know what? We like censorship. I want to know less about what happened. Now, no one does that. Now, this is actually what happened. They knew the laptop was real, the FBI, because they got it a year before. The little repairman with the beret gave it to him, and he said, here. So they knew it wasn't hacked for a year. Now, how did they know it was about to drop? Because they were spying on Rudy. They were investigating Rudy for the foreign agent case that they never even brought. And they knew he was shopping it. So they had these weekly meetings with Twitter saying that it's going to drop. Hacked stuff from Russia's dropping in October. And then it drops in October from the Post. And these guys said, oh, you know what? Let's use the hacked materials excuse. Boom, it's nuked. And guess what? The same guy who was a lawyer for Twitter,
James Baker,
who killed it at Twitter, also was the one Crooked shopped the dossier to at the FBI. He's on both sides of this crime.
You know,
now, has he been asked anything about this? No, he's a hero. He's your hero.
He's not my hero. And no, I hate it when you call her Crooked and not by her actual name.
I would also
add that every newsroom, including our own here at Fox News, turned down this story because it was Rudy and Steve Bannon walking around saying, hey, we got the goods on Hunter Biden.
On Saturday night, I remember well, Pierrot and Waters were hammering. Gutfeld was hammering
this. Absolutely.
Well, talk to the big guys upstairs.
I was all over it like a wet t-shirt.
Woodward and Bernstein, Waters and Pierrot.
This is a government trying to influence an election. You've got FBI agents getting everybody ready for when that thing was coming down. They had it for a year. They knew about the 10%, the money, the Ukrainians, and Burisma. And you know what? It was systematic suppression of the Biden corruption.
If you
That's
think this would have changed
Biden
the election,
corruption.
I have many bridges to sell you.
Also, there's a study that proved it.
Yeah.
I saw that study.
10% would have changed their vote.
Coming up next, the left's climate hysteria is now giving children nightmares.
Yes.
I'm just a long-haired son of a sinner, searching for new ways I can get gone. I'm a pedal to the highway, if you ever wonder why.
Confident about which use...
Precise, personal, powerful. It's America's weather team in the palm of your hands. Get Fox weather updates throughout your busy day, every day. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good work, liberals. Your constant climate hysteria is now terrorizing an entire generation of children. Instead of being concerned with the boogeyman or monsters under the bed, a top Democrat said global warming is starting to worry her kids.
They've also given us a model to become our own leaders. And let me tell you what it means to me, coming in as a different generation. I remember my middle child waking up with nightmares over concern around climate change. These are the type of experiences that we are going to bring as we continue to push to meet this moment of challenge for the American people with progress.
But it is no wonder the children are scared. Climate guilt is all the rage now in the media. A Washington Post analysis piece telling the story of one mother who, quote, couldn't shake the feeling that by giving birth, she might be doing something bad for the earth. All right. So your child wakes up from a nightmare about climate change. Wouldn't you agree that fears about climate change are probably something that a parent instilled in a child, Greg?
Yeah, a wise man coined a phrase called narrative poisoning, and this is apocalyptic poisoning. She's poisoned the child's brain. Imagine instead of when your kid's crying, saying, oh, actually, there is a monster hiding under your bed. Good night. Because that's exactly what this is. Right. You know, there is a monster. He's going to come and kill you in 10 years. And the kid can't process this. But we're now assuming that kids can just take on anything. Like they can understand apocalyptic predictions or gender affirmation. Like kids can understand their own sexuality at six. It's all because we've allowed political ideology to poison which is essentially a parent-child relationship. Hell, if you agree with mom, I mean, murderers, they're environmental heroes. Because for every victim, they pull two carbon footprints off the planet. Yep. Good for them. Putin invades Ukraine, 200,000 dead. He should win the Nobel Prize. Not Nobel Prize. Nobel Prize.
All right, Jessica, Cleo is a year old. And are you weighted down by the idea that your child is simply adding to the devastation climate change that will create in the carbon arithmetic on the cost of her birth? I wrote that earlier. I don't know what it means. Are you devastated? See, here's the problem. When I write notes, I can't read them because of this. Are you devastated and worried that Cleo is now creating a climate disaster?
I'm waiting for her second birthday to start talking to her about the implications of her footprint. The diaper footprint is crazy, though, how much waste those things create. Yeah. But
what should we do?
No more diapers.
Those cloth ones are disgusting. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, but what about detergent? Isn't detergent a pollutant? So you're constantly like
you can't wash clothes?
What's better, disposable or non-disposable?
I don't know. I have to ask somebody else.
You're the mother.
She has a dad, too. Maybe he knows something. No, but there was something else in what Representative Clark said that I thought was interesting. She said, she was talking about the climate stuff, but then she also said when we go to a movie, sometimes they feel like there's someone in the movie theater with a gun. And that stuff is real, that kids, because they do these active shooter drills and they're overwhelmed by the gun violence, that's something that I so wish that our kids knew nothing about, and we need to do better as a society that they are exposed to that.
All right, Dana, are you going greener this season? Are you giving greener gifts? And are you throwing
away
wrapping
paper? Here's how I'm going greener. I'm not getting a tree. Because it's just there's so many trees everywhere. I don't need to have one in my apartment as well. That's how I feel about that. I agree on the school shooting thing. I do, and I hear that. But I remember, and it's not just the parents. When kids go to school, that's when they get all of this climate change stuff as well. Mm-hmm. I remember a few years ago, a friend of mine told me that their kid was very upset going to bed, reading a bedtime story to them because their bed frame was made of wood. And in school that day, they had learned that America is cutting down all of its forests and we're going to ruin the planet because we're cutting down wood. And she didn't want to have a bed like that anymore. So it's coming from them at lots of different angles. But this is what I'm worried about. Are these kids going to grow up and be the ones that are trying to throw tomato juice on a Van Gogh? Right? Is that where this leads? We have to have perspective. And if the schools are going to be a problem and the parents are going to be the problem, then I guess every child in America is going to have to watch The Five.
Okay. All right, Jesse, there's something called echo anxiety. And according to The Lancet, 59% of kids between the ages of 16 and 25 are seriously concerned about the effects of climate change.
Makes sense. Jesse Jr. ripped off his bib this morning and said, Dad, I couldn't sleep last night. Knowing that Joe Biden has a security clearance. Mm. I said, I understand. He said, no, you don't. His family's under investigation for foreign money laundering. How is it that the president has access to our most sensitive secrets? I said, son, I get it. And then I gave him some Robitussin. Knocked him right out the next night. Now, am I allowed to criticize this woman's parenting?
Yes.
Go right ahead.
Because some would say that she's a bad parent, because you're supposed to raise resilient children. You're not supposed to raise children that run out of a movie theater or cry about the weather next century. So I'm going to do something I usually don't. I'm going to volunteer to help out here. I'm going to offer to take this congresswoman's child under my wing and mentor this child. I will perhaps do active shooter duty at a Cineplex so they have the confidence next film. Or maybe tell them about ClimateGate. Remember how they fudged the numbers to make the temperatures look they were going in that direction? I'm willing to do that. And I also did a deep dive on this woman. I couldn't help it. Did a deep dive. She grew up in New Haven. Parents, obviously, librarian, father, Nixon voter, Republican attorney. Typical New Haven situation. And then the parents and the whole family went into this very strange direction. I only did this because this woman's the next Pelosi without the charm. She's a real high riser. You're going to be seeing a lot of her.
Hakeem Jeffries is the next.
Yeah.
No, she's a whip. Am I allowed to say whip? She's a whip.
Yeah. Okay. Up next, Swift.
Am I allowed to
Swift justice. Taylor Swift fans who got shut out of concert tickets are filing a big time lawsuit. Or a big lawsuit.
Small town sticking around just like folks used to. Good old boys and girls just falling in love.
You know that I love you. I should have read that beforehand. The Swifties aren't messing around. A group of diehard Taylor Swift fans are suing Ticketmaster's parent company for fraud. That happening after they got screwed out of concert tickets for the Songbird's upcoming tour. The website crashed, which allowed scalpers to scoop up tickets and then sell them at astronomical prices, with some going for 20 grand. Now Taylor's fans are out for blood, accusing Ticketmaster of unlawful conduct and violating any trust laws. The DOJ is also looking into what happened. Greg, I'm glad the Department of Justice is looking into this.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's just get... This is a difficult topic for me, and you guys know that. Bill, given my past history with Taylor, and I wish her the best, I think I should recuse myself from commenting on this specific case because the feelings are still kind of raw between us. And we may have an agreement that we weren't going to talk about each other. So let me talk about, in general, the ticket situation. There has to be a simpler way of seeing live acts. It's super confusing. There's a lot of scalping. It's so complicated. So it leads me to this question. When is Amazon going to have a button that says live acts? A place just like it has for books and movies and stuff. And you go on there and you just go to live acts. It shows you everywhere in the country. And it's like, and you can choose a seat and it can be different in price, just like the difference in the size of a product. That seems to me the solution. Amazon is buying up everything. Buy up Ticketmaster. Just take over this business and make it so that you can just press a button and go, oh, I'm going to see Morrissey in L.A. in July 2023. Great.
Broke up with who again, you and Taylor?
It's a long story. We both kind of grew apart, and that's what happens when somebody like me is more successful. Like, when you are two successful people and somebody moves on, yeah. It was a lot for her. No, it's a lot. You still talk to her, right?
You had a mixed match of ambition,
yes.
And you really succeeded.
Yeah,
and
I just can't settle down. I'm a rambling man, Dana.
You are. Rambling on and on. I don't know if you guys remember this. Ticketmaster, that, when they merged with Live Nation, that was a big deal, yeah. Back when, kind of in the business press, right? And somebody like AOC, she says that they should never have been allowed to do this. I don't know why she cares so much. Maybe it was because she foresaw this problem. But the other thing I was thinking is that Ticketmaster weighed in on the Georgia election law, like a lot of companies did, and it was bizarre. I was like, why are you weighing in on this, right? So I have a feeling that when they get called up to Capitol Hill, there's going to be a lot of people from both sides that are going to want to talk to them. I'm also surprised that Taylor herself has said nothing.
So Taylor.
Doesn't come as a surprise to you. But everybody, the Ticketmaster issued an apology to the fans and to her, but she has yet to say anything.
So when we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, we were discussing the fact that if someone was going to end up having a big effect on the way the industry worked, it was going to be Taylor Swift doing mm-hmm. this, right? That she has always been on the side of her fans, of the artists, et cetera. And I know this is a couple dozen plaintiffs, and I'm sure the judge has something to say about the odds of them actually winning this case. But it will shine light on something that is wildly unfair. That Ticketmaster, first of all, it was portrayed that if you signed up to be one of these VIPs that you would have early access to this. And these people didn't know, of course, the Ticketmaster had gone and already bought up these tickets to put it on the resale market and hiked up the prices at this level. And one of the things that is different about a Taylor Swift tour, as Greg knows, from just a regular tour, is she needs the largest arenas everywhere. She can't just go and do a small concert, right, for 15 people or whatever it is. She has
She would love to, but you can't.
And I understand that. Yeah. She could do a private thing for us.
Her heart is so big.
The biggest. So I imagine that something will happen from this just because she has such a great track record in terms of shaking up the industry and shaking it off.
Yeah.
So. Oh, shake it off. That's well good.
That was one of her talents.
Yes. Really?
No, what? What?
She shook it off, the breakup, he means.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Is it my turn? Do I get a question or I just start rambling?
You can ramble.
Okay, here's the thing. 26 fans are suing. Okay, they're suing for breach of contract, intentional misrepresentation, fraud, fraudulent inducement, antitrust violations. Here's the bottom line. When Live Nation and Ticketmaster joined and the federal government let it join, the federal government pretty much relied on a promise that the companies would refrain from taking full advantage of, quote, their power. The government needs to stop asking these parties for promises and just maintain competition. This thing is even more complicated by the fact that there were verified fans who were paying for something. They don't know what they were paying for, but they thought that it was for early sales. And the truth is, whether it's bots or whether it's scalpers, they were already sold out. But Ticketmaster has a bit of a defense saying if they could have sold the number of tickets that were wanted, she would have had to have had 900 concerts, more than 20 times what she planned. The woman's a superstar. This is one of once-in-a-lifetime situations, all right? And having said that, there's just one more thing that I want to say. The court has not yet accepted this petition. Ooh. Who knows if it's even going anywhere? Right. And that's the end of it.
That is the end of it. Thank God. Up next, when raccoons attack, that wild video and more in the fastest.
Welcome back. It's time for the fastest. First up, this woman should win Mother of the Year.
It's a rabbit raccoon! Get down!
It's not me, it's her, for sure. Oh. So this mom fought off a vicious raccoon after it bit her 5-year-old daughter, flinging the creature back out into the yard. Both got rabies shots and are doing fine. Jesse, stunned, right?
No. Oh, no.
Could you do it?
No, I couldn't do it.
I couldn't do it.
I couldn't even do it with a stick. I probably couldn't do it with a gun. I think that woman is a hero. She's a national hero. Women can surprise you sometimes.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
They really can.
Just move on. Don't address it.
Judge, cover that up.
Let me tell you something. There is nothing a mother won't do to protect her kids. Yep. If it were a bear, I'd go out and fight it.
A bear?
Yeah. Yes, or you get a gun. I walk around with a gun belt in the house.
I thought it was a shot belt.
I have that too.
I'd have two
different
kids.
Different night.
I'd have two kids, and the one I didn't like, I would throw over there. And so the animal. But you know what? Think about this. She has a story, but the raccoon has a story, too. You can bet they led with this video on Raccoon 5 on the Raccoon Fox channel. They're like going.
How'd they get the video?
Class action lawsuit. of the raccoons against the mother.
Discrimination.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll see if they have standing.
I love the secret lives of raccoons, that they have their own little world down there.
They're
but
horrifying.
It's scary if you see a raccoon like that in the daylight, that, you, that there's a problem.
Yeah, there is
These
a problem.
These are nocturnal animals, yeah. So you need to be very cautious and careful.
Yes, that's right.
I say that about Cat Timp.
All right. Up next, Starbucks diehards are roasting the chain's new tipping feature, which lets you add gratuity when buying by card. But folks say pressure to give a tip is leading to awkward moments. Which I hate this, the public tipping thing.
It's everywhere.
But is this the product of the, like, the great larceny of 2022? Weren't the tipping jars the first thing that was being taken when people were stealing? So they couldn't, realized that, because there's a lot of money in the tip jars.
People a lot, leave it,
So they had, I think that was easy pickings. And so they just, you know, and I agree with what you said in the green room, that we should be cutting off the hands of shoplifters.
Nothing is sacred anymore, Greg.
They do that in Egypt.
Yeah.
Moral dilemma. Mm. Does the tip count if they don't see you put it in the tip jar?
Oh, that's
and
a
do
problem.
You try to make eye contact with
Always.
The barista as you're placing it in the jar? And sometimes she'll turn and you'll go, oh.
Take it back.
Yeah.
If it's your regular place, yes.
Yeah.
Jesse, I'm worried about you. All right. Is it my turn?
Yeah, if you want.
You know, what's interesting is that the baristas aren't on board with the new system. I think they feel uncomfortable, too.
Well, who wouldn't feel uncomfortable?
Well, they're the ones getting the money. I would think they feel less uncomfortable than me. You know, every time I got to look at it, I got to add the tip. I feel bad. When I go to pick up something, why do I have to add a tip?
That is a question about whether if you're picking up, you leave anything.
You leave a dollar.
No.
No, Jesse.
No, I'm saying for a cup of coffee, you just add the custom $1
tip. I meant picking up food, like if you order seamless pickup.
If you're picking up a $40 dinner and there's a blank there for a tip.
If it's a place I go to, no. And if it's not a place I go to, no.
Okay. And finally, sorry, America, you might want to avoid the self-checkout next time you're at the store. Turns out that the touchscreens are dirty as a toilet. Experts say they're crawling with thousands of nasty bacteria, and shoppers should wash their hands regularly. Greg, would you like to say something about poop?
Feces are everywhere. Get used to it. If you think it's bad now, imagine what it was like, you know, 40 years ago or 100 years ago or 200 years ago.
Without houses.
I mean, people were just walking around in this stuff all the time. And we're like, ooh. So that imagine like 20 years from now, 30 years from now, they're going to look back at 2022 and think, these people were disgusting. They used toilet paper.
What are they going to use next?
Bidets.
Water bidets.
Bidets?
Bidets. Absolutely.
Do you have
it's
a bidet?
Paper. It's big
None
paper.
None of your business.
It's big TP. Big TP is forcing toilet paper on everybody.
I see so many more Japanese toilets in places, like in restaurants.
Yes.
And
What's
that? Yes. Where they'll spray you.
Yeah. What do you mean?
If you...
They spray you. Yeah.
What does that
Jesse!
What does that mean? They'll
spray you. In other words, it sprays
like
you.
Like a bidet. You
know, it's a bidet. A Japanese bidet.
No, well, but it's a toilet.
It's one device.
It's not a separate one. It's not a bidet. It's in the toilet.
I don't think I know enough about
it. It's amazing.
You like
Once you go back, you never go...
Japanese
with the toilet.
Okay. Well, it's all of Asia. There were great ones in Seoul. Okay, don't go anywhere. A major announcement about Jesse Waters you do not want to miss.
No, you don't want to miss this. Jesse, you're going to love...
Welcome back. Jesse has a big life-changing announcement today. And no, he's not adopting me. Jesse, the floor is yours.
My wife, Emma, is pregnant with a girl.
Uh-oh.
Yay!
So we're having a girl.
Yes.
And she's 5 months along, which I think is halfway through.
Mm. Yes.
And I'm glad you brought us in with Wu-Tang. That was a very appropriate
Wu-Tang remake.
That's so cute.
Thank you very much.
Very cute.
And she looks fantastic. You can't even tell that she's pregnant.
Crazy.
And
that's
and we have pink cupcakes for the baby. We're having a little trouble with the name situation.
Why aren't you going to leave that up to the child?
The gender?
Yes. There's no gender until the child decides.
No, we assign gender at birth in our family.
Okay.
And we usually get it right.
You're batting 1,000.
There we go. So there's the family right there. We're getting bigger. As of April,
2023.
That's really great, Jesse.
And yeah. We're very happy. Emma's doing terrific. Everything's all good.
What does Jesse Jr. have to say? I mean,
he has no idea what's going on. Well, he's still upset Biden has a security clearance.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You know what? It's such a wonderful thing. I mean, you had a boy, now you have a girl. I mean, it's just so perfect. Everything you do is perfect, Jesse.
Well, thank you. I would agree.
That's because of Emma.
It is because of Emma.
Yeah,
have you thought about names? Emma. Names, because you have Jesse. What about Jessica?
We were thinking about that. That was vetoed. She gets veto power over
Why can't women be juniors? Like, oh, it's Emma Junior?
Yeah, listen, yeah. Why? Is that not possible? No. We should start that.
We don't want to.
That's very.
You guys have started enough.
Sexist.
When this started, women were considered chattel. When
it's
they
true.
Did the
and
third and all that.
Now.
They didn't have the right to vote.
Wow. Is chattel a good thing? I don't know. What is chattel?
This conversation is taking
like
a very political
like a
turn.
Cows are awesome. I was a cow.
No, they're gas. No, they have the green emissions. So, listen, who's going to name the baby?
Well, it's a collaborative effort.
Let your Emma. Show name it.
Should we
Prime
outsource
time.
It?
Let Prime
yeah,
Time do it.
Do a Twitter poll.
Should
do
we poll
a poll.
It?
How about Elon Musk
poll
name
it.
Your baby?
No. We don't
well, his children are named very strange things.
Like numbers we can't understand.
We don't do that.
No.
No, it's longer. It's like pie.
You know, who cares?
So if
maybe
anybody
you
has
send
any
the baby present.
No, actually, I mean.
A Tesla.
Jesse is gender fluid, right? It could be
yeah,
a girl
yes.
or a boy. Just Jesse. And you already have. Do what George Foreman did. He named every kid George Foreman.
He did not.
Either that actually happened.
That's true.
Fact check me, people at home. It happened.
Yes.
Everybody was named George. Yeah. Or
well,
Georgina.
I'm beginning to think you're a little thinking I'm egotistical, Greg.
No, not at all.
What gave you that idea?
Nothing. But
thank you very much for your warm regards, Greg. you will be babysitting, whether you like it or not.
Yes,
and
yes.
thank you guys very much.
We're
all
thrilled.
Of you.
So absolutely thrilled for you.
Should I take yes. any paternity?
Yes.
How
what?
Long?
6 weeks.
6 weeks? Am I entitled to six
I
weeks?
I think you're entitled to 4 months.
4 months?
That is crazy.
Is that true?
You know what?
We're
what
baby.
About people like us, Dana? We don't get these perks.
Jesse,
we don't get these perks.
You don't have to
we have a class
children.
Action suit.
No.
We have a
Jesse,
class action suit.
Can I do
suit.
Your show for four
yes.
months?
Yes, you can. I might not have one when I get back.
We need a so, lawyer if anyone will represent
yeah.
us in our
Think
class
about all of you
suit.
People at home who don't have kids and all of your coworkers. They get all this paternity and maternity off and you don't.
Yeah, because they deserve
Call
it.
Call 1-888-937-5000. You may be.
27.
You may be. What
okay.
do you call it?
Entitled
to a large sum of money.
Yes.
One more thing's up next.
Yeah.
It's time now for one more thing, Jesse.
Okay, what do we have here? We have a tale of bravery for you. We have 10-year-old Jasmine Carney was attacked by a shark in Jupiter, Florida this past week, but she fought it off. And here's her story.
Something grabbed me, so I'm like, don't you touch me. It looked pretty big, and it was gray. It hurt, so I'm like, kick it, run away.
You're actually supposed to do that. If you see a shark swimming in the water, you're supposed to go towards it and attack it
what?
That show that you're the alpha.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a shark expert on primetime. Also, primetime tonight, 7 o'clock, Traffic is Killing America, an investigation.
Wow.
I'm going to watch that because I agree. Judge.
Yeah, I agree, too. Okay, on Friday night, I had the honor of being the MC at the Tunnel to Towers Future Footsteps of the nice. Future Gala. Around 900 people came together
Beautiful.
At the Marriott Marquis.
Yeah.
There I am with Ziller and also it's great to meet so many wonderful people, including a woman named Mecca Nelson, one of the Gold Star family recipients. It does fantastic works, Tunnel to Towers. I'm so happy to support their foundation that does so much for the families of America's heroes. I'd also like to give a quick shout out to Kim Sig for the beautiful bag I use. It was a hit. The thing lights up and you can actually plug in your phone at the same time.
I love that. Yes. Smart bag. Indeed. Greg.
Smart bag indeed.
Yeah.
Tonight, we have a great show. We got Emily Campagno, Jamie Litzau, Chris Baird, Kat Tim. Let's go to this,
shall we?
Greg, sports etiquette. Okay, this is probably the greatest volleyball point of all time. But there's something more important than the point itself. It's what happens afterwards. Let's take a look, shall we? Women's volleyball we're watching right here. This is somewhere in Omaha, Nebraska. You got two teams playing. How do you like that, huh? Here we go.
And she's in the place.
Wait,
to.
What?
This is incredible.
Did you miss it?
No, she got it.
Giannis.
Oh.
Whoa.
Whoa. What?
From the Cougars. The team wow. is still on the ground behind the court.
Oh.
Whoa.
And then, what do you see here? They go and they fix the table. The girls women. Fix the table. Women,
women
there's
amazing.
Nothing they can't do.
Raccoons.
You go, girl.
Volleyball.
I thought you only watch beach volleyball for women.
You know what? I decided to branch out. I think that all volleyball is good.
Good.
Let me go after Jessica. Jessica, you go next. Mine's not great.
We have, well, we have more baby news. Jesse's going to have a baby. And you all know that. No. Carly. Yeah.
Congratulations. Oh, Jessica. Jessica.
Carly Shimkus is having a baby in February, and I went to her baby shower, which was absolutely incredible on Saturday. That's her with her husband, Pete. She looked absolutely incredible. A whole Fox crew here, Janice Dean and Rachel Campos-Duffy is there. Janice Dean serving up the weather up front with Campos-Duffy again. There were lots of Fox and Friends folks there, and her parents, Ed and Suma, who were incredible. We seem to have lost the photo of that. But anyway, congratulations to Carly.
They just told me I can save mine for tomorrow. But honestly, it's not that good. It's about a camel at the World Cup, and she got an award. That's
wow.
it. That's my one
that
more
sucks.
Thing. And that's it for us.
That's
special
that.
Report is that.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen to The Five ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.